was gonna ask you about stuff after we're done here anyway, so
Okay. Yeah. So, welcome everybody. Welcome,
Hello,
welcome.
hello.
We are back for number two of the
Second
new year.
episode, yeah.
Right? It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And just to be clear, no one resigned in the podcast. So
Correct.
for those who know that you know.
Wow. Wow.
If I didn't, someone would have said something. But no, seriously, like quick sports shout out. Even though, we don't do a ton of sports on this podcast, I feel like we should say something. He was a coach for a lot of most people's adult lives, like especially if you're under the age of 20, 25, you're I hope Mike Tomlin has a good retirement. Move on. We don't know yet, but
Right.
he is the third coach in my lifetime to retire. I was just old enough to remember when Knoll retired and we got Cowher.
Yeah.
And then I was in college when, well, I was still taking college classes when Cowher retired.
Right.
And we brought Tom with it. So.
So this is interesting. So I did the update for my Mac today, and it is not letting me go to YouTube to watch the stream.
Oh, that's not
Oh wait.
good.
Okay, I might have gotten into it. Hold
By accident.
on. let's see here. Oh, there we go. Now we're good. Now we're good.
Okay.
I just had to open it on a different browser, like the browser I normally use. Not supporting it right now. I don't know what
Wow.
the hell went on there. But
I will
weird.
have to say, all my sports friends that I do have online, I'm getting interested questions about the whole Tomlin thing. But I was like, I'm not worried about it. I was like, we'll pick someone good, I'm sure.
I'll be honest, I'll be surprised if we don't have a coach by next week. By the end of
I
next week.
well, Harbaugh got signed by the Giants today, and he was only out of a job for literally a week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I will not be shocked if we have a, if we don't have a coach by next week.
Yeah,
Like,
well, we're doing interviews
but
right now, so
yeah.
we'll see.
But you know, as much as people, were shitting on Tomlin toward the end there, like he really was, like he did a lot more than a lot of the other coaches in the NFL. Like he's gotten his team to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I think every single year. It might have been one year that he didn't.
It was there were a couple years there where they didn't make it just because of tiebreakers and
Yeah.
stuff like that. But
But for his what? How many years was he coach? Like 19 years, some years.
19
So
years. Yep.
19 years, and probably 15 of them, he at least got to the playoffs, if not the
Yes.
Super Bowl. So,
Yep.
yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
Like,
I was gonna
I
say
re
I think a lot of teams that haven't even reached that point, which again, we are spoiled here in the Pittsburgh area
Yeah.
as far as
I
food.
don't, and I don't think that it necessarily was his fault, that we didn't get past this wild card game. I think our team is really old, like age wise. I think a lot of the guys need to, we need to move some of the people out that are getting older and are no longer pushing the game the way they should. Aaron Rodgers. While I Well,
not
I
gonna
think,
put it on him though
listen,
either. I won't
while
do it.
I think Aaron Rodgers is a good leader, I think he rallies the team well. I just
Yeah.
think he himself cannot play very well anymore. And I see this as a dude 2 years older than him, right? Like my body is not what it was 20 years ago. I guarantee
Even
his is not. So,
to be fair though, he's probably attuned his body better than you and I have in
oh
our
yeah.
same age bracket. I mean, yes, I hit the gym and I try to eat better. I'm sure he gets gourmet,
Yeah, sure, he
organic,
has like an actual
100% organic
food. Yeah, like
stuff.
a
Yeah.
cook.
And he
Yeah.
probably works out like 3 hours a day, at least. If I work out my three times a week, maybe four times a week, an hour a day, a significantly difference there. Plus, I'm sure he has masseuse,
Yeah.
chiropractor on call,
Hot tub. Yeah. Steam room, like all kinds of shit.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. What's that
Orthopedics.
cryo thing? The
Yeah.
cryostasis. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If we had that, I'm sure we'd probably be like in better shape too. But
Right. But there, I mean, you saw through the whole season. There were games where he showed up, and then there were games where he didn't. And this was a game that he didn't.
Although
Because
I
it was
will,
going to come down to the offense, because the defense on both teams did really well. So.
that's. I think it that was on the O-line, or not O-line, the offensive coordinator. I don't. Smith is. He's okay. He was better than the last couple. I give
Yeah.
him
Oh,
that.
for sure. Yeah. I just,
But
yeah.
Todd Haley was better. Bruce Arians was better.
Yeah.
But they actually threw the ball. They actually had schemes. His is. Oh, if you see that my tight end over there, yeah, just dump it to him and he'll lose 2 yards, but at least it counts as a completion. And they did that all year long and they shouldn't be doing that. But
Right.
off that
Right.
soapbox, it's an end of an era. It's going to be an interesting season, especially with what draft coming to town.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an exciting year on on the sports end of things. Now, we're a comic podcast, so
Right.
we'll get back on that track here. So
All right. Really, there's not much comic news though.
no. It's still early. I
Right.
think it's the
So,
that's the thing.
for the post reviews section, just so you guys know, I'm gonna talk about the first two episodes of Starfleet Academy, like dropped today on Paramount. As you guys know, I'm a giant Trekkie. I am in fact about 12 episodes away from finishing my Voyager rewatch, which is the hardest thing for me to rewatch. Because Voyager was not written very well, especially the first two seasons and then the last three seasons. The two, season three and four, were pretty freaking good though, but everything else, not so hot. There's some diamonds in the rough, don't get me wrong. But I was talking to one of my friends last night and he's like, "Oh, did you get to this?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "That was awful." I'm like, "Yeah, it was pretty bad." Where I think it definitely took its second downturn. From or the downturn when it started to go up again and then came down was where they brought in the Borg kids. And if you don't know what I mean, you need to watch Voyager and get through probably four or five seasons to get to the Borg kids. But there are four Borg kids, and one of them stays to the end and then appears in one episode of Picard and they kill him right away. It's not even the same actor, which is funny. But I'll talk about Starfleet Academy a little bit more after we do some comic reviews, because I love that crap. I think it's great.
Yeah. I think what maybe we do, I think we should start doing like a review. Like if it's lean, like this week was a little lean on books. I found some, but maybe we do a graphic novel.
Yeah,
Like
we can do that.
a series on that. I think they change things up a little bit in the podcast for a new year. I think that probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of okay with whatever. All right, let's do some comics. My first book, surprise to no one,
I
is
was gonna say, I saw that and I was like, oh, John's gonna do that one.
Mega Man Legends Timelines number one. So this is the most future Mega Man we get,
I don't like
outside
the fact he
of
has hair. That's
all of them,
messed
actually.
up.
Technically, all of them have hair. They're just under the helmets. This one just has longer hair. But there's cut scenes in the games where, like, he takes his helmet off and his hair is blown in the wind. So,
He looks like
especially
Ash
in,
Ketchum in armor.
yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, that's very much so the art of this one. So, if anyone played the Legends game, it was more of like a first-person shooter style game than a Mega Man side scroller. So it's very weird. And they're like, him and Roll are basically almost like grave robbers. Like they just go into like these underground mines and kind of see what they can find. So this one starts out, Mega Man's going into a dungeon, and he gets down there, and he opens a big chest, and he finds, do you remember the helmet, the forget what he's called, the Hard Hat Harry helmet that was like blown apart, that Mega Man used like part of his helmet to like seal that chunk up that I did a review on a while ago. This would have been probably like end of November. Anyway, that's the artifact that he finds. Okay. So they're like, holy crap, this equipment's really old. And they plug it into this computer, and you see original Mega Man, Mega Man X, the Zero Mega Man, and then the Mega Man from another Z, like the other Zero game. So then, like this, there's like another chunk where there's like somebody with like a glowing orb on the screen, and Mega Man's like, hey, maybe this will help us find your dad. And all of a sudden, someone busts into the room with a giant mech suit on. Her name is Tron Bonn. Her minions are like Lego dudes. Like you see that dude in the bottom left. Like that's all of her minions. They're like that. So they steal the helmet, and they're kind of trying to get away with it because they think it's some kind of treasure. And they run into like her boss, who is kind of a mailman. It's weird. Anyway, Mega Man gets the helmet back, then they fight back for it. All of the serve bots, which are the little Lego guys, form together into a giant serve bot with a big hammer. And they like croquet smack him. And then Roll blows him apart with a grenade, which is kind of fun. And they recover the helmet at the end. And that's kind of where it ends. For the timelines issue, at least. And like I really liked it. I thought the art was very fitting for it, but it was a little too anime, like manga-esque for me in the anime style, like in the animation style, because it looks like it does there on the cover, right? But I but it's very reminiscent of like the 90s cartoon Mega Man. Might have been 2000s. But either way, I really liked it. So I'm gonna give this, oh man, I gotta give this like Nine Inch Nails style industrial metal, as
Which version of that now of 9 Inch Nails are we going with here? We're going like
oh
the
like pretty
early to
like
mid 90s
oh yeah like
or
full
what?
on Pretty Hate Machine, like this is Pretty Hate Machine, all over the place, come to life in a comic book. So it's pretty sweet.
That's actually high praise there. That's not
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
I mean,
it's
Hate
that's how
Machine
it
is a
fits,
really
you
good
know?
album, so.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of, like, if they had done one that was a little more upbeat, like, it would be this, but that's as upbeat of a Nine Inch Nails record as
For
we get.
Nine Inch Nails,
Yeah, I was gonna say, maybe
maybe the
Starfucker.
Hand That
Like,
Feeds might be it.
nah, I was gonna say, like, maybe Starfucker, like, that record, maybe, but, you know, I think that, I think that Pretty Hate Machine is probably the most upbeat they've done. So, anyway. Oh, come on. Come on, computer. There we go. Wow.
All
My
right.
computer with this update made me change which button I have to hit to switch to this now. So
Okay.
interesting. Thanks,
All
computer.
right. I haven't done a Gunslinger Spawn review ever. I am a Spawn fan. I actually haven't
No,
read
you're
a lot of
not.
the
Shut up.
Gunslinger
No.
stuff of, I want to say, past issue 10. So I'm really behind. From 50, but it is an iconic, like, 50 is still an iconic number for a comic book. And this does have several, back and forths of Gunslinger, but it also has a lot of the Scorched crew. You have Jessica, you have Al. You have Gunslinger here. Terry Fitzgerald is in this. And it's basically, I'm reading the issue just on its own, without any context of where this story is at. Apparently, this is part of the Scorched storyline of this, in I guess it's a infested spawn, which it's like a he's a the ultimate bad guy that they're all kind of fighting right now, and he's capturing other spawns, looking for a body of some sort, because I guess he's kind of like a specter of a spawn and he's not a true spawn. And in this one, Gunslinger is gets captured by this spawn, and he actually like gets tortured and stuff, but they find out that his body rejected this spawn trying to take over, so he had to move to another spawn. I think he's going after Al, but it's kind of a lot of back and forth between that story and what's going on currently, which is the evil spawn kidnaps Terry Fitzgerald, and is going to take on Spawn one-on-one, and that's continued in one of the other Spawn series here. I think it's going to be in Scorched, and I think it's going to be in King Spawn as well. I like this. I like all the different Spawn things. I just haven't gotten caught up with all of it because the Spawn universe has gotten insane. Like, it's huge and it's hard to keep up with all the characters. I'm gonna say this kind of gives me let's give let's do some old school country, since it is Gunslinger. Let's do some Johnny Cash. Let's do his last album that he did all the homages with,
Oh, the cover record.
the cover record. Yeah, I feel
Yeah.
this has that vibe to it
Okay,
because you're
okay.
getting a little bit of everything. You're getting that his version of Rusty Cage. You're getting his version of
Hurt.
Hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Hurt's the big one to everybody, but his version of Rusty Cage is pretty solid too.
I do. I like his Rusty Cage a lot. Actually,
Yeah.
there's a couple songs in there.
Yeah.
All
But
right.
yeah, This definitely feels like very Johnny Cash, which for Gunslinger Spawn actually fits very well. So.
Fair enough. My next book's Mega Man X Zero. So this is not a timelines book. This is actually the zero issue of the new series. The art's a little different from the one we read last time. And it's basically the beginning of the game. Mega Man is having a dream about Dr. Light. The lady bots are telling him that a bunch of things have gone maverick, including the giant bee bladder air unit, and that Veva has turned himself into Vile, and he's running rampant through a city, and Zero told him to go and clear this road so they can get there. And Mega Man's like, oh man, why am I fighting all these robots that used to be good? Now they're all bad guys. What the fuck? Blows the bee bladder, it falls to the ground. A couple more baddies show up. All of a sudden, Vile shows up and grabs him and kind of short circuits him. And as he does that, just like in the game, Zero shows up, cuts off the hand of the big robot, and Vile runs away. Zero and Mega Man have a hey, you need to do this stuff. Like I have potential. I see potential in you. Dr. Light saw potential in you. Blah 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 blah. To be continued in Mega Man X number one. I really, really liked this book. Like, I liked this book more than I liked The Legend Zero. And it's so the Mega Man X timelines was most was the Chill Penguin stage. This was actually the beginning of the game.
Huh.
Like it's like the like when you start the game. Before you can choose a master screen or a maverick screen, I guess, this is it. Like this is what it does. I really liked it. I thought it had some great, like the dialogue was good, the writing was good. It moved quickly. I just wanted it to be a little longer because it felt a little short, but I'm expecting the rest of them to be a little longer because the intro to the game is kind of short too. So I'm really digging it. But I'm a
Well,
big Mega Man fan. He'll probably be my next tattoo, to be honest.
well, and
Yeah.
it's Udon Publishing. They do all the video game. They do Street Fighter. They
Oh
do
yeah.
Darkstalkers. Like, I love those books. They're
Yep.
because they're exactly. It's almost like all the video games coming into the pages, like straight up. Like they look exactly like it does in the game. It's really nice when they do this, and I appreciate that publishing company very much for them taking on these IPs. Like
Oh, yeah.
I wish Nintendo would kind of let them do it, because I think they would do an awesome Nintendo book. Like, but again,
Oh, yeah, like
that's
if they did like
just
a
it's
Zelda or a Mega or a Mario, like, because
yeah.
those two
Hell.
besides Mega Man were the three biggest like Nintendo like legacy games.
I'd be
And
down
then
with them to do like a Castlevania or
Oh, Castlevania
a
would probably be up there
Metroid.
too.
Metroid would be a
Metroid,
cool
for only having like three or four games, Metroid has a huge following.
one. Oh yeah.
But I'm a Mega Man and Zelda guy. Those were always my two
Yeah.
favorites. Mario would be up there too. I loved like Star Tropics, and it only got two games.
Yeah.
But like F-Zero, Street Fighter,
Oh, here you go. Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, yeah, like Ninja Gaiden would be cool, but that's basically like reading a Ninjak book. So,
Yeah, but
yeah.
it'd still be kind of fun because
Right.
I remember playing one and Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2. And that was always one of my favorite games to play on the original Nintendo with those two games.
Right. So I'm gonna give this, and this is gonna sound weird, but the reason I'm giving this band's style is because it's just like the original game had like some really blisteringly cool metal stuff. So I'm giving this Dragon Force. It's about speed, it's about precision, it's like it's all encompassingly crazy fast, and I love it. But it's
That's
got
basically what
melody to
Dragon Force was too,
it.
is a
Yeah, and
mini.
they're yeah, it's good. I liked it a lot. So,
There you go.
all right.
Okay. Now this one's a couple weeks old, but I couldn't find another book. Like I was thinking about maybe doing Avengers 800,
Well, that was the
but I,
Bendis one, right?
yeah, that's the one with
Yeah.
Bendis, and I was like, I already did one book that it was, I haven't caught up on. I was like, I haven't read an Avengers book in a while, and
Me either, but I heard it's a pretty good starting spot, so.
yeah. But I love this one since we're talking about video games, and Tyler Kirkham doing his magic in this final boss. We left off with our main character here winning that brutal match, and this is the aftermath in issue two, where his buddy's trying to get the money, because obviously people did not bet for him to win. So of course he was going to win a huge amount of money. Well, his, of course, the I want to say the loan sharks, I guess, or the guys that collect the money, whatever you want to call them, the money collectors, didn't want to give him the money. So his friend was like, "This is ours, fair and square. You're going to give it to us." So his buddy actually started the fight. While our main character is still getting adjusted to the power that he consumed when he fought his opponent, and he's still feeling it. Like he's sitting there standing still, and he's trying to control the power and the strength. And then, of course, the money collectors go after him because they're like, "It's just all your fault. You know, blah, blah, blah." And he barely taps these guys, and all of a sudden their heads just get ripped apart. And he's thinking to himself as this is going on, he's like, "Holy cow." He's like, "I have to watch what I'm doing." He's like, "I gotta get this under control, because you know I could accidentally hurt somebody." But there is, like, during the fight against one of these guys, he tries to run away, and our main character here grabs a rope and he whips it out like Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, and he yells, "Get over here." And he wraps the rope around the dude's throat and slams him down. And when he slams him down, it's just a puddle. You do get a flashback of him and his grandfather and his dad, when he was a kid, explaining like the power that he has from his grandfather surviving that mysterious island and during WW2. I guess the way he explains it is the power that he has was inherited from his grandfather, but it skipped his dad. So his dad was constantly jealous of his grandfather and his son. So his dad just became a giant drunken piece of garbage, which, you know, I guess that would happen. He does get recruited by another fighter, and they're going to fight in this big tournament in this very foreign and mythological, which it kind of correlates with the island that his grandfather came upon during WW2, because you see some strange looking animals, and basically it looks like it's going to be kind of like a Mortal Kombat on a mystical island of where we're going with here. But I'm enjoying it. Like the brutality of this continues from issue one into issue two very much so. Let me give this a good one. Let me go with early Pantera. Like,
Ooh.
I'll even go with I'm gonna have my metal card removed because I can't remember the title of the damn album. But it's been so long since I listened to them.
Wait. Are you talking like when they were a glam band, or
No,
like their first
no.
like, or like was it Vulgar Display of Power? I think was their first one, right?
That's Vulgar
Like their
Display of
first
Power.
metal record, like groove
Well,
metal.
Cowboys from Hell was technically their first metal metal.
Oh yeah. So I couldn't remember which one was
Vulgar
first.
Display of Power was after, and then after that was Strength Beyond Strength. Is that it?
No, hold on. I'm just gonna look it up so I don't
Yeah,
fuck with
just
somebody more than
Google
we already
it.
are.
Yeah, we're getting our metal card removed for this. You can't remember this shit.
Not really,
Yeah.
but
It's kind of hard.
well, I just haven't thought about Pantera records a lot. Who thinks about records at all anymore, right?
It's
Like
true.
album releases, like we're thinking, oh, it's like more in more
Oh, Far Beyond Driven is
yeah, Far
the
Beyond
other
Driven,
one that
yeah.
you, yeah.
So Metal Magic from 1983 would be early Pantera.
No,
Then
I don't want to go that. I want to
Projects in
say
the Jungle in
nine.
84.
We'll go with 90s Pantera, Vulgar
Okay,
Display of
okay, okay. So not 80s Pantera of I Am the Night or Power Metal.
Yeah,
And then
this is.
Cowboys from Hell, Vulgar Display of Power, Far Beyond Driven, Great Southern Triangle, Reinventing the Steel. So got it.
Yep.
All good. So but no, that's kind of cool. I think that works. I think that's a pretty
Yeah,
good
the
for this.
brutality alone, it reminds
Yeah.
me very much of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, whoops,
Oh,
sorry. I doubled up. You have to go to yours.
that's fine.
I'll do
This
mine
was
later.
another Logan Black White Blood. I love these Black White and Blood or Black White and Red, whichever one they choose, because it's gone from red to blood now. But we already did a Wolverine version, but this is just Logan being Logan and not so much Wolverine in costume. Now, of course, this is like every other of the Black, White, and Blood. Three different stories. This one is interesting because it goes through the years. The first story is him waking up in a battlefield in 1950s Korea, where he woke up on the battlefield of everybody being slaughtered. He obviously is working for the Canadian government at this point in time, helping out the Koreans fight against North Korea, or the South Koreans fighting against the North Koreans. He was obviously the only survivor of that, his battalion. And he discovers that the battalion that he was assigned to was attacked by Russian ops, which doesn't surprise, that fits the timeline. And if you're going Russian 1950s, you got to go with Winter Soldiers. And it looks like it's a whole platoon of Winter Soldiers.
Ooh.
They don't last long. He slices and dices through them. It's not much, but it's kind of cool because they're all, it's not Bucky Barnes. You don't see Bucky Barnes in them. This is the other Winter Soldiers that they had at their possession, I guess. He slaughters them all, and that's kind of the end of that story. The next story is him in the 1970s, where he's under covert assignment again for Department H, but he's in New York. And he ends up solving a bunch of murders during the 1970s against a serial killer, which that could be like any of the 1970 serial killers at that time.
Right.
He finds them in a movie theater, and he basically antagonizes the killer. The killer goes to stab him with his little pincely knife, and he stabs him a couple times, and he thinks he's dead. And he's like, "Hey, bub, you mind? I'm trying to watch this movie." And he's in full berserker mode, and he just beats the living hell out of this dude, turns him into the cops, goes back, and he to his convert mode there, and that is the end of that story. The third story, I'm trying to remember. I didn't write it down, so I'm sorry, guys.
Okay.
Trying to remember it. I can't think of it like off the top of my head. So this is all the top of my head too, guys. I did not you I usually write down a summary of all the books, and I did not have the time today. Yeah, I can't recall what the third story, but the first two stories alone were really good. The art in it is excellent. Like this cover art, this is beautiful. I want this as a poster. Like this is, I love the black and white and the detail and the veins in his arm. That's good stuff. What do I want to give this as far as music? It hurts that because it's different eras of time, so I can't even like pinpoint an exact band for it here. Well, since
You
it,
said
the
it was like
last,
the 80s, right?
well, the 70s, it was the
Oh.
70s was the last story, and the 50s was the other story. I'll give it, well, if we're going by the 70s here, let's go with some Sex Pistols here. Whether
Go.
that, I feel that that's appropriate, because the background environment for that story in the 70s was like you saw some old school 70s punkers in the streets of New York,
Okay.
so that we'll fit that in there. That'll
Fair
fit.
enough. All right. My last book, Dungeons of Doom.
I
Doom.
was curious on this one, as I have to say, I
So
was going to.
basically this is it's three different sects of people are trying to get into Doom's castle because Doom is, defeated. So it's the Americans, Hydra, and the Latverians. And the Americans brought along Thunderbolt Ross as the Red Hulk. So they end up in a room that once they open it, a thing from like almost like an AI is like, "This is the voice of Charles Xavier. If you're hearing this message, you've ripped the proximity alarm. This room was never meant to be opened. It holds organisms beyond your comprehension and a mutant who should never have been born." Who I think is supposed to be Zorn, but I'm not 100% on that. Then it's like the Latverian freedom fighters, and they're like getting their asses kicked, and they open a tomb, and this giant monster comes out, and there's a really cool like scene where like the creature's tentacles are like ripping a dude apart, and then they find a different tomb, and they jump in that one. And then the third one is the Hydra guys, and they get in there, and the dude finds basically a Mjolnir, like it's a hammer that can't be picked up, but it kind of looks like a more traditional Mjolnir,
Yeah.
but he says like, "Do you hear that voice? It says something about being worthy," and he picks it up, and worthy. And then there's the Wakandan part, which is the fourth part. Where Umbra is flying in there, and he basically serves a giant bat demon. So this book was a whole lot of mini stories, didn't do a whole lot. It was kind of meh. So let me see how I want to, what band I would like to put this to. Okay, so I'm going to go with Morrissey, because it was,
For Doom, that kind of
you
fits.
know, because it was gothy and sad. So, so that's my view of that book. I did see something while you were talking in your first book that I wanted to make sure we talked about. Kathleen Kennedy stepped down from Lucasfilm today.
I saw that.
So, and gave it to Dave Filoni, Edinburgh, PA, Pittsburgh guy, Pittsburgh guy running fucking Star Wars. Here we go. Well, technically he's running Lucasfilm, so he's running all of it. He's running, like if they did a Indiana Jones movie, he'd have to be involved. If they did, basically anything that Lucasfilm did, E.T., oh man, there's a couple more, but I can't remember them right now. But that's a pretty big deal, considering Kathleen Kennedy was picked by Lucas to succeed him. And I thought she did a pretty okay job. Now, do I think the writing and all of this stuff was great? No, but did I enjoy all of it? Yeah, you know. But it's just one of those things when people try to find something that's on the border of nostalgia and then make more stuff, it tends to not be as good. So, you know, it's think of it as like the 90210 reboot, right? Like that did not fly very well. But what I am excited for is the Scrubs sequel show that comes out. I think it's this month or next month. It hits ABC and it's like a mini series. It's a mini revival season. So I'm pretty excited about that. But let's talk Star Trek. Star Trek. So, a lot of my friends in the Trek world are very fit. We're very 50-50 going into this. A lot of them were not excited about it. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just wait, see what it looks like. I'm gonna watch it, see how it goes. I had a blast with the show. So it's kind of interesting because the school itself. So it's 120 years after the Academy on Earth shut down, and they're reopening the regular Academy because between then and now, all they had was the War Academy. So this is regular Academy, and the ship itself is called the Athena, and it not only is it like a starship, but it's a school in it too. And when it gets to Earth, the back end where the warp drives are come off, and the hull goes down to Earth and then like transforms and becomes the school on Earth. So that was super cool. But the writing was good. It revolves around about six or seven cadets. The main cadet, when he was six, had his mother taken away from him by the captain who's now running the school as the chancellor, who's like 400 years old, whatever. And it takes place a little bit after the end of Discovery because the one engineer from Discovery's in it. The AI doctor from Voyager is the doctor on the show for the school and is an instructor. But some of the characters were kind of cool. Like the first officer is half Klingon, half Jem'Hadar, which was the most crazy, awesome thing to watch because those are the two most aggressive fucking species in the Star Trek universe. So she is like, it's like watching, like, it's like if, it's almost like they were like, you need to be Kilowog from Green Lantern. Be Kilowog. And she's just like screaming at people, and it's awesome. There's another dude who is kind of a chameleon and can kind of walk in space for a little bit. There's a Klingon who doesn't want to be a fighter, he wants to be a scientist.
Oh, that's weird.
There's right, yeah. I forget what the other one's race is, but she's just kind of wants to be like a leader. She's the one with like the funky eyebrows. And then there's a girl who is a hologram, and she's the first hologram designed to go through as a teenager into Starfleet Academy and learn how to be an actual, like, learn and go through it and actually get stuff done like that. So that was kind of cool. And then there's a Betazoid, two Betazoids, their brother and sister, they're prince and princess of Beta Z, which is kind of cool. Paul Giovanni plays the bad guy in the first episode because he's the guy that was going to try to sell the kid when he was younger. And then the second episode is about bringing Beta Z back into the Federation. So because it all kind of revolves around this school, and the school is kind of a ship and a building and almost like a space station at the same time, it has a lot of cool like DS9 vibes, which is really what I liked about it, because it was a lot of diplomacy, it was a lot of that kind of stuff. And but it the thing I do like about it is that it's not like weird monster of the week, like it actually has a story. Like Brave New Worlds has a little more monster of the week type stuff. This show's a lot more serious, it's a little darker. That's why I dig it. So if you're into Star Trek, check out Starfleet Academy. The first two episodes are out today on Paramount. And like I said, I just had a blast, man. I thought it was good. So and I'm glad there's a one instructor that's a Vulcan. Like, there's no main Vulcan character, thank God, this time. Because like sometimes after watching rewatching Voyager, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I cannot rate Vulcans for anything in the show. Like, fuck.
They're
So
just better as the bad guys, that's all.
no, they're like Romulans are better bad guys because they're basically Vulcans who embrace their emotional side. Like, but if you can't write a Vulcan to be logical without being a douchebag, then you've written a bad Vulcan. And that's the problem, is like the one on Voyager is kind of a douche. The one on Enterprise though, to T'Pol, she was fine. So anyway. So that's my Starfleet Academy thing.
Review.
Review. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like I came out of it, there was the moments where I laughed out loud. There were moments where I was like, wow, that was an awesome scene. It's got a lot of action in it. So it's like the action of Discovery with the diplomacy and stability of DS9 with like a little bit of expanding the horizons that Voyager did. So yeah, I'm real excited. I think it's gonna be a good show. I do. So, and I love the new uniforms. I just love that era's uniforms. They're freaking awesome. So,
There you go.
and if you're reading the comic, The Last Starship, that's about the burn, which is where this event happened, and all the dilithium in the universe went inert, and it like fucked up all the ships. Like all the ships basically like sat dead in the water because all they had was impulse, because they couldn't go to warp because they used the lithium crystals to power their ships.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, except for the Discovery, because the Discovery time hopped into the future and it doesn't use the lithium, so it uses these weird like this alien and his little fluttery bug things, and it hops from space, this point in space, to this point in space. Like, it doesn't have to travel it. It's just boom there. So you don't have to worry about taking 4 episodes to get home. So,
Okay.
anyway. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Like, I got, oh, I should take it back. I did put these stupid expensive books at the Mills.
Yes,
So,
also.
if anyone's looking at remember those stupid expensive books that were rotated through? Check out the Mills. They have all of those stupid expensive books. The long boxes still in Cranberry. And there are more wall books. We just did the rotation this week. There are more wall books coming out to the stores, probably sometime mid next week. We have kind of an abundance in one of the stores, so we're working on that. So
Yep.
I
Yeah, the
think that
dollar
might.
room has been replenished. I did that this week, so there are
Yeah.
new dollar books there for you
Yeah.
dollar book divers.
And we
Also,
moved
what is it a Magic Weekend this weekend?
it is.
Yes.
Lorwyn Eclipse comes out this weekend, so make sure you check that out. I'll be in Cranberry tomorrow night playing in the pre-release. What?
It's going to be the only good expansion
Yeah, that's probably right.
the
Well,
year. Sorry to disappoint all you Marvel fans out there. I
The
don't think so.
Strixhaven one might do okay too, but we'll
Yeah.
see.
Well, we
But
will
there's only
see.
two that are in universe, and these are the two that are in universe.
Yeah.
So, and Elwood got 65 new long boxes. Cranberry got 30 new long boxes. Waterfront got 10 to 15. There was something else. Cranberry's anniversary sale at the end of the month. Make sure you check that out. It's the last Saturday of the month. I think it's the 31st. And then we will be at the Butler Toy Show on the 25th. I want to say it's 24th or 25th. But it's next weekend. So me and Tony will be up there for that. Tony will be on crutches, so I have to haul everything in. So if anyone sees him,
Okay.
don't push him. Just watch him fall. But yeah, I will be up there for that. So
Yeah, we won't have our first show until what, the end of February.
February. Yeah, we'll be out at Happy Valley
Happy
Comic-Con.
Valentine's Day, which for those who are looking forward to that, it's they're on Facebook and they keep posting up updates on Facebook for Happy ValleyCon. So you guys might want to check that out. I think that's about
Yeah.
it.
I think that's really it. There really wasn't a
Yeah.
lot of.
There was no new, like, no nothing major comic booky wise, pop culture wise, other than what the everybody's still kind of talking about the Avenger trailers.
Yeah, unless anybody has any questions they want to put in the chat right now,
Yeah.
and then we'll be glad to answer them. But for those couple of you guys that are watching, we'll give it a second to see if anybody puts anything in there. But yeah, we're just kind of getting the old ball rolling here. It's a
Yeah.
new year. We're excited. It's gonna be a fun time, man. I think we're gonna have a lot
Yeah,
of fun.
I know Amazon is I'm updating everything very slowly. Right now I am redoing the entire backlog manually
Yeah.
going through, and I'm putting everything in an alphabetical order, and then I'm going to count everything after everything is in alphabetical order, and then make sure I have a accurate count. Make some
Yeah.
prep boxes for shows up for the year, but also
Also, guys,
have
didn't know
enough
we have an
stock.
Amazon store, just so you
Yeah. Just in case you guys
know.
didn't know. And I was gonna say probably 90% of the inventory is $3.
It's almost all graphic novels. So,
Yeah, there's all
yeah.
like there's that 10% that's other books and knickknacks that we have that are comic related in one way or another that aren't graphic novels, but the majority of it are graphic novels.
So definitely go check it out. We recommend, doing that. It'll be a lot of fun. So, all right. Well, there's no no questions, I think we're going to be done for the night. So thanks everybody for watching and listening, and make sure you go support your local comic shop. It doesn't have to be us, but it'd be nice if it is. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Just go out, play some Magic, read a new comic, pick up something new for the year. It'll be a lot of fun. So, and if you see us around, definitely say hi. I like high fives. Just saying. All
I
right.
will go with fist bumps because I, I'm trying to not be sick this year.
What? We're just gonna all pet your mohawk down. It'll be fine.
It's true.
All
I
right.
still have the blue hair, so it's so good.
Fair. All right, guys, we'll catch you later. Have a great night.